That was Carol Denny singing Rosebud from her album North County Jail. And you're listening to Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, the recorded edition, May 20th, 1996. Problems in Free Radio Santa Cruz studio mean that I can't be there. Actually, no one can at the moment. And so here's a tape for you to catch you up on current events. We've got interviews. We've got a lot of music this time, since I know people get kind of bored listening to me go on and on. And hopefully we've got some opportunity for you to respond. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And if you do want to respond to this two-hour tape, if anything on it moves you, provokes you, leads you to want to add additional information, you can give a call to me at 423-4833. There's usually an answering machine on the end of that number, or me. And if you want to leave a long message, we'll play it on the air. If you have any response to what has been said here, we'll be happy to put out that information. The song you just heard, Rosebud by Carol Denny from her album North County Jail, refers to an activist in her late teens who was, well, many of us believe, murdered by university police in 1992 in the summer. Rosebud fought and struggled along with other activists to maintain public spaces. She fought for the rights of homeless people to be in public spaces at Berkeley's People's Park, which was and still is threatened with gentrification. The homeless there are threatened with removal. There was a whole controversy in the early 90s around the buildings of a very expensive redwood sand volleyball courts, which are not used now and indeed are being considered for removal by the city and by the university. The plan of the university, in my eyes, was to fill the area with student sports courts so as to evict poor people and political activists who have essentially set up and used the People's Park area for the last 30 years. It was, of course, established in 1969 by students, by the community, by people who were tired of seeing the university's large hole in the ground, which resulted from their tearing down low-income housing in order to eliminate the bohemian element downtown. And for years, struggle has waged around People's Park, and it's currently in sort of a quiescent stage. The university and the city are still trying to do things like remove the food services. Food Not Bombs serves there, religious groups serve there, remove the free clothing box, put in more sports courts. And I understand they have a whole new series of restrictions on homeless people there that they're trying to enforce. But in terms of an active and aggressive campaign, such as was being pursued in the early 90s, where police were arresting people for walking through People's Park at night, indeed they may still be doing that, but I haven't heard that they are. Around the time Rosebud was killed, she allegedly was shot in self-defense by a police officer who discovered her with a machete in Chancellor Tien's private residence. In fact, the details of her death suggest she was not a menace, that she was shot in such a position that it indicated she was not aggressively attacking anyone. Her loss was really considered a tragedy for all of us. I knew her personally, talked to her and interviewed her on several occasions. Unfortunately, I don't have those tapes, but she was a fighter for basic rights, and she was being harassed and pursued by the police department, who alleged various bombing conspiracies against her and so forth. And it was a great song by Carol Denny. Carol Denny was a friend of Rosebud's. And here's another song, another great song by Carol. I Saw the Light at the North County Jail, the title song to this album, North County Jail. A couple of preliminary notes before you hear this song. Roses and a couple of notes about this brief song. Demonstrators who were peacefully resisting the attempted transformation of downtown Berkeley into a gentrified no-homeless zone used such tactics as chalking, which means they chalked political messages on the sidewalk in washable chalk. and they were arrested, some of them brutally, taken to jail. The chalking practice, by the way, was later the subject of a successful $25,000 civil suit in terms of the rights of people to be able to chalk. University of California was sued for their police action against people chalking on university property with washable chalk. And recently the city of Berkeley, which sought to prosecute Christopher McKinney, who was also the defendant in the University of California at Berkeley case, had to drop charges against McKinney, and I believe he's now going to be successfully suing them, or has already. I'm a bit unsure as to where the case actually is in the courts. But it is legal to chalk on the sidewalk, and indeed, when folks come down to demonstrations at Santa Cruz from Berkeley and from San Francisco, you often see these very colorful, attractive displays of chalking in front of City Hall and sometimes down on Pacific Avenue. And it's a great tactic. You buy some sidewalk chalk, these big, thick pieces of chalk that kids use, and you use it to press whatever concerns you are having, boycotts against businesses, if the businesses, for example, are supporting the anti-homeless laws downtown. I had quite a to-do with the Java House. I guess it was several years ago when the Java House evicted me for supporting Wanton Dave Jacobs, who they dumped it from the house years before that. The Java House is an ongoing controversy. But let's get back to the song by Carol Denny called I Saw the Light of the North County Jail. Chalking is mentioned. Roses are mentioned. Indeed, Carol Denny was accused of violent behavior in this ongoing injunction against her that the university has successfully sought, which all of the rest of us term a slap suit, a strategic lawsuit against public participation, because on one occasion she threw roses into the volleyball court, and they called that an attack with thorny stems. Anyway, here's this wonderful song by Carol, who's still singing, still holding concerts, still holding benefit concerts for the slap suit. And if, by the way, you'd like to get a copy of this tape, I'll tell you how to do that right after the next song.
People's Park is over and volleyball is freedom. I saw the light at the North County Jail. Free speech doesn't matter and property is holy. I saw the light at the North County Jail. I saw the light, I saw the light. I saw the light at the North County Jail. I saw the light, I saw the light. I saw the light at the North County Jail. Chalking is defacement and roses are a weapon. I saw the light at the North County Jail. Fuji is a martyr and Dilbeck is a hero. I saw the light at the North County Jail. I saw the light, I saw the light. I saw the light at the North County Jail. I saw the light, I saw the light. I saw the light at the North County Jail. We need more police and they are only here to help you. I saw the light at the North County Jail. This world would be better if more people were in prison. I saw the light at the North County Jail. I saw the light, I saw the light. I saw the light at the North County Jail. I saw the light, I saw the light. I saw the light at the North County Jail. I saw the light, I saw the light. I saw the light at the North County Jail. I saw the light, I saw the light. I saw the light at the North County Jail.
Carol Denny, North County Jail, from her album, an almost live recording, North County Jail. If you want to get a copy of that tape, get a pencil, and we will give you the phone number to call. The tape is by Carol Denny and Frank Buffum. It's a couple years old. In fact, it's 1993. And the phone number to call is Vista Recordings, area code 510-530-1205. Carol Denny has been a longtime fighter for basic rights for poor people. I actually only came to know her in 1991 when the two of us got involved in the struggle to maintain People's Park for the community and to support the rights of poor and homeless people to use public spaces up there. Carol has been harassed incessantly by the authorities up there, and she's responded by continuing to expose injustices, whether they be in her own neighborhood in terms of harassment of people by local businesses, the Downtown Business Association there, folks up on Shattuck Street or Telegraph Avenue who are trying to make money, use public funding to drive away the homeless, whether it's the huge University of California at Berkeley, which has filed a SLAP lawsuit against her, strategic lawsuit against public participation. That's a lawsuit which attempts to frighten people away from engaging in legitimate political protest. As I said before, the reference to roses are a weapon has to do with the reference to thorny stems in the lawsuit, which was filed in early 1992 by the University of California against her and three other activists with the intention of stopping protests by frightening protesters into believing they too would be enjoined. An injunction, as people at City Hall here in Santa Cruz will soon find out, is a very serious thing, which allows the judge to inflict summary 5-day sentences on people without any real trial. I mean, they get to go before him and argue before an attorney, but there's no jury trial unless the judge wants a sentence of longer than 5 days. It was a tactic used by judges in the 19th century to destroy labor unions, to stop strikes, and it's a nasty tactic, essentially to give the police the power to run people off and out of situations where there actually is no real law that's being violated. So Carol is fighting this case in court, which at the same time she has been fighting cancer. I think her cancer is now in remission, but for years she was fighting cancer with exhausting, horrible chemotherapy, something I can hardly imagine the personal impact that would have upon my life. And of course she's a wonderful singer. We're going to play a few more of her songs, I think, later in the show. Carol showed up at my hearing, I understand, on Friday, although I didn't see her, and for that I want to thank her, and I want to thank all other activists who showed up and all other people. The courtroom was packed. There were very few police in evidence, which was interesting compared to the last time I went to court in San Francisco on the same issue in an appeal, where the police outnumbered the demonstrators by about 5-1. There were 9 demonstrators. Probably more than that, actually, more police, that is. There were 9 demonstrators, and then there were 30 police out front, and another 20 or 30 police kind of around the side. So they were ready to stop any bagels from getting into court. And that, I believe, was in the summer of 1994 that happened. Could have been the summer of 95. These things all blur together in my mind. However, in symbolic defiance, I carried a bagel into court with me when I walked into court on Friday with my bathrobe and teddy bear. Actually, I took off my bathrobe as I entered the court, but Edwina, my teddy bear, was with me as I walked to the defendant's bench. And I actually made a recording of the whole thing, which I'm sworn not to play on the air because I did so under the interesting 980C rule of the California Rules of Court. For all you legal eagles out there who want to keep a record of your court cases and not have to pay lots of money or wait lots of time to get a court transcript, or in those circumstances where there may not be a transcript available, it is your legal right to carry a small tape recorder and not even to ask the judge, but to inform the judge that under Section 980C of the California Rules of Court, you will be making a recording for personal audio use. And you can actually get a form that you will sign and present to the judge right before the hearing. That's a form you can pick up here in our local courts at the municipal court clerk. And again, it's called a 980C recording form for personal use. It's distinguished from a form that you would use, for instance, as a reporter if you were trying to record a proceeding for later broadcast purposes. That's another form called an extended media coverage form. For all you folks who wonder why I go into these technical details, I know that there are lots of folks out there fighting court cases, or lots of folks out there who want to record court cases for their own education, for the education of others. And I really believe that we ensure justice, well, let's say we fight injustice in the courts by exposing it to public attention. So these judges' arbitrary decisions, like the decision of Judge Barton, Judge Michael Barton, whom I call Barracuda Barton, to levy unreasonably high bails on sleeping protesters because he just doesn't like what they're doing, as he did in the case of Sandria Roth 2 weeks ago when she was held for several days in jail for sleeping outside twice within 48 hours at the City Hall protest. That's sleeping, folks, not any kind of violent or abusive behavior, not even littering or taking a dump in the bushes. You know, she wasn't feeding the rats. She was simply sleeping outside in front of City Hall, as were many others. As there have been over about 190 tickets now, something like that, sleeping tickets. And Judge Barton has apparently given some kind of an order to the police department and to the jail that people who are repeat sleepers are not to be released on their own recognizance. They're to be required that they post bail, and since poor people in this situation can't post bail, it's an attempt to subvert the First Amendment. So since they can't post bail, they won't be able to come out and return to the protest. No one has been convicted around this issue. And that's very significant, because if you're convicted, then there's a legitimate argument, I suppose you'd call it legitimate, at least it's a customary argument, where a judge might impose a condition of probation if an individual wanted to take probation, which I wouldn't advise, by the way, but hey, that's just my case. Taking probation subjects you to the full rigors of the law if you're then arrested for not obeying a law. So for instance, if you're arrested in a protest and a policeman says you're not obeying a law, you don't get a jury trial on that. You get a hearing before a judge, and if the judge finds that there is merit to the policeman's accusation, then you have to serve the entire sentence that you were given. You may have to serve more than the entire sentence. I think your sentence could be modified upward. So it's not a good idea to accept probation if you're politically active. I never have. And I don't think that others should either if they want to maintain a high politically active stance. You're listening to 96.3 Bathrop's Piers Broadsides, the recorded edition. Let's hear some music from the San Francisco Mime Troupe. They're a wonderful group. They've been going for more than 30 years, doing show after show. I'm a little embarrassed because I'm not quite sure which of their shows this next selection is from. I think it's Fact Wino versus Armageddon Man. But in any case, here's the San Francisco Mime Troupe.
Back there,
what good is knowledge? Oh,
always entertaining and exhaustively informative is Food Now Bombs activist Keith McHenry, who's been in San Francisco since 1987, originally came out from the East Coast where he helped co-found Food Not Bombs back in 1979, 1980. And he's usually in the midst of high-profile protest. He has a political analysis I don't always agree with, but he's always provocative, and he's frequently a guest on the show by phone. He also has his own show up in San Francisco on Tuesdays at 5 o'clock on San Francisco Liberation Radio, and San Francisco Liberation Radio and Free Radio Santa Cruz exchange tapes back and forth. In fact, I got a couple tapes the other day, which I'm going to be passing on to the radio station to play during our current crisis. You may know that Free Radio is looking for new places to be and is having problems locating itself. If you have any suggestions or thoughts on this, you can certainly give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And while I'm about it, I'd like to apologize to anyone who's shown up at Taco Bell in the mornings before the show. In the past year, I've made it a general policy. Whenever anyone wants to be on the air, has something they want to say regarding the civil rights of poor people in Santa Cruz, I ask them to show up at the Taco Bell at Pacific and Laurel Streets at 9:45 on Mondays and Fridays. And I'm hoping to begin that policy again, but right now, because the studio isn't available and we're reduced to recorded shows, that's kind of pointless. And quite frankly, also, not many people have been showing up. We occasionally get a guest there, but that hasn't really been something that people have used. So if you want to do something on the air, you should give me a call, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. HUFF stands for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the organization of local activists, homeless and non-homeless, who believe in the rights of people on the streets, the rights of people who are poor, the rights of people outside, and who want to fight oppression from authorities against those folks, inappropriate restriction of their basic rights. And I'd also like to see, of course, an expansion of those rights, an expansion of the possibilities that we need to live and live better with each other. So here's Keith McHenry from last Friday, May 17th. He's talking about my hearing up in San Francisco, which was a sentence modification hearing where I tried to have my sentence reduced from 2 months to nothing, or actually time served, which means the 1 day in jail that I spent in jail in 1993 for serving food with Food Not Bombs would suffice for the entire sentence. And we don't know what's going to happen on that since the court date has been postponed to June 7th at 1 p.m. in Department 14 of the Hall of Justice at 850 Bryant Street. If you're interested, we'll be doing a caravan at that time, probably leaving at, oh, I'd say 11 o'clock from the City Hall sleepout. Here's Keith McHenry.
To Cats and Jammer, Keith McHenry, Food Not Bombs' most puckish and rotund activist, or perhaps I'm also equally rotund. Hi, Keith.
Hi, how's it going?
All right. Listen, you showed up big time with a Food Not Bombs banner in front of the Hall of Justice in San Francisco yesterday for the sentence modification hearing of one Robert Norris Kahn. What was that all about? What was your take on what happened there?
Well, that was really interesting. I thought that the three speeches, essentially, one by the judge, one by our attorney, David Beauvais, and District Attorney Terrence Hallinan, were pretty interesting in that all three were strongly indicating that the downfall of the last DA and the and last mayor to lose, you know, when they that the Food Not Bombs protests were effective and had played an important role in those two people losing the elections last time around,
mm-hmm.
which I think that's pretty funny for a that since that's never admitted to normally. So that I thought was fascinating. I was kind of, it was a little discouraging that Terrence Hallinan wasn't more radical in his perspective. But
what would you have preferred him to say?
Well, that the entire just more, you know, he sort of indicated, well, these were the laws at the time, and so, you know.
he made various vague statements about we're going to do a better situation with the homeless now, and
right.
times have changed. Though, interestingly enough, though, he has declared amnesty for, what, 38,000-odd Matrix tickets, including all sleeping tickets that I'm aware of, and sleeping is a particular concern with us down here on the 78th day of our sleep out at City Hall, faced with an injunction from the city of Santa Cruz. But he also, he did not, however, make it clear that he was going to stop prosecuting ongoing Matrix stuff, which, as you know, is increasing in San Francisco because of the increased number of cops and because of the failure to inform the police and control them on the issue of so-called of quality of life Matrix citations for sleeping and carrying a backpack and being in the park after dark and things of that sort.
Right, right. That's what's kind of disturbing. But he's also under attack, definitely, by the mainstream here in San Francisco trying to the Examiner Chronicle trying to...
Speaking of which, I guess the Examiner hasn't come out yet.
No, the Examiner has not come out yet. The Chronicle...
We did have an Examiner reporter there, though.
Yeah, the Chronicle didn't seem to show up, so I don't know what they ultimately...
No, there was nothing in the Chronicle this morning, at least not in the edition down here, which I think is the same edition.
Yeah, that's
there was very little, and of course there was no TV media, no radio media, but interestingly enough, both law journals came to this hearing, which for those who don't know already, was a hearing on my sentence of 2 months in jail for contempt of court for serving food with Food Not Bombs. I was the only one of 11... How many actually were arrested during that throughout the period since 88?
Well, there's been over 1,000 arrests so far.
And under the injunction itself, any estimates?
The injunction itself would have been only 100 of those were not injunction. So it's like 900 injunction arrests.
So most of the arrests for Food Not Bombs were injunction, though I guess there were numerous arrests in 88 when you first began encountering a lot of police resistance.
Right, those were all for 7.03K.
Violation of the park code?
Park code, right.
And Haight Street area.
Then they came with the injunction on Bastille Day, actually, coincidentally enough.
Which is the day, by the way, when the cases for our sleeping ban here in Santa Cruz will all be kind of thrown together into court, June 14th.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really fascinating. You may end up with Marie Victoire.
Really? Let them eat jail, I guess.
It was like kind of a whole funny thing, you know, and I'm taken around City Hall with my legs bound with chains and my arms bound with chains, you know, to sign all these injunctions and documents and stuff. It's kind of a very farcical event. And I was arrested actually that day in 1989 holding a banner.
This is, in fact, when you were engaging in supporting the Tenement Square right across from City Hall, the homeless encampment, which was similarly trying to bring to City Hall a political protest as well as simply live, because they had there was no legal place for people to be outside in San Francisco at that time, or actually no safe place for people to be outside. I guess I don't know how extensive enforcement of anti-homeless sleeping laws and state lodging codes were in 1989. You probably have a better sense of that than I do.
Yeah, that's of course still is persisting, as you just said, the attack on the homeless for just merely being homeless.
We know on the 31st we have a demonstration coming up at the county building because there's that's the initial kind of consolidation date for all the sleeping tickets. It's actually going to be a very brief hearing because they're going to continue it, we assume, until the 14th of June. But it might be, you were talking about finding a time for Food Not Bombs to come down and do a mass sleep out downtown, and who knows, that might be an appropriate time.
Oh, on the...
around the 31st,
yeah, the, 30th. Actually, the night of the 31st, we have a forum against police repression of the homeless that we're...
So maybe you should come down on the 30th, and we can come up on the 31st,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, that could be pretty impressive. We certainly should start to mobilize for June 14th, which would be at what time?
I believe it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
10 o'clock?
So it would be 9 o'clock we'd show up.
9 o'clock protest.
Mm-hmm.
We can maybe sleep overnight in front of City Hall, right? Right before that, we gotta...
That's possible. So you should be aware that the injunction may be in full force by that time. There is an injunction that the city is planning against the City Hall sleepers, voted 5-2 by our First Amendment-minded city council.
This is kind of a frightening consideration. Isn't Mr. Kennedy still on the city council?
Kennedy is, of course, yeah, he's one of the votes, presumably in the 5-2 make it illegal for protesters to be at City Hall, or at least setting restrictions on them. We haven't yet been told the terms of the injunction.
Right.
And this is the first time this has ever been done. No injunction has ever been done against sleepers. You do know, of course, we had one against eaters and feeders, actually more feeders, back in 1989 with SWAP, soup without a permit.
Right. This actually, I think I was originally named in an early injunction in Santa Cruz County.
You were named and defamed as well, and blamed, probably.
Well, that's quite an honor. Well, it looks like normal living and normal human activities is becoming quite the legal farce.
Indeed, it's a bugaboo for the authorities. You've got to find some way to get these guys out of sight.
Yeah, and to try to show that the economy is really very positive. It's they're coming up with all kinds of new programs. For instance, there was a workfare program that was talked about on National Public Radio today. It was just really pathetic. This, you know, people that are finally getting like $200 a week, or every 2 weeks, because they're on workfare. How are people supposed to live on these kind of farcical programs where you won't in the end have a job anyway? I saw one of these workfare shows where the woman got her first job in Michigan on workfare, and it was to build robots which would ultimately replace her.
Wow.
So it's
ironic.
It's very ironic.
Let me ask you this, because I'm rushing to get to the studio by 10. The police commission, or was it the police commission that was recently the subject of a demonstration by the Coalition on Homelessness, or was it another group? Following the May 8th debacle where Mayor Brown rushed to his limousine to avoid discussing the issues of increased stepped-up matrix anti-homeless sleeping arrests, Coalition planned to do some more demonstrating or some more talking around these issues with the mayor or with the police commission. Do you have any information on that?
Yeah, this is a very frightening story, actually. What happened was a coalition of community groups that were started by the San Francisco Police Department in the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood, one of which is RAD. We call it it's called Residents Against Druggies or something like that, but it's... they're basically drug addicts that live in homes that are opposed to drug addicts that live on the streets.
Uh-huh.
It was silly kind of thing. But anyway, that's...
The good drug addicts and the bad.
Yeah, right. There's supposed to be a division in that. Now, the other thing merchants associations, which were, there used to be, and there still is actually, the Haight-Ashbury Neighborhood Council, which is an actual citizen organization started by citizens, but the police could not co-opt that group, so they started their own groups in the Haight-Ashbury. Now, those groups have decided that there are too many people sitting on the sidewalk in the Haight-Ashbury, and so they're trying to get a new change in the police code so that people can be arrested for sitting on the sidewalk on the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood. And
this, of course, was rejected by voters. I think it was Proposition N, Proposition O, right? Well, it was one of the propositions, right? Proposition O in Berkeley, of course, was a similar proposition, which passed, but then was put on hold by Federal District Judge Claudia Wilkin, and is still being suspended, even though a Seattle sit-on-the-sidewalk law was ruled constitutional by a federal court up there. We're wondering, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
So if you get the most recent CopWatch newsletter from Berkeley, there are a number of incidents listed where police officers enforce the ordinance even though it has been, there's an injunction against it. And here, this is outrageous. So a lot of people showed up to the police commission meeting this past Wednesday here in San Francisco against this new anti-sitting law.
Mm-hmm.
And
anti-sitting code, actually. The law was rejected, right?
Right, the law is rejected, and this is changing a police code.
Hang on a second.
A lot of people showed up. A lot of homeless advocates and members of the Coalition on Homelessness showed up to say, this is more restrictions on right to peacefully assemble and stuff. But the merchants, they were like very vile in their comments and really suggesting that the people that are sitting on the sidewalks in the Haight-Ashbury are not even human and that
a lower caste.
Right. It's very sickening, this pitting the community against one another. And what is also very sad is our famous police officer, Dick Holder, who's now deputy chief, is orchestrating this event. The police are out saying, well, we can't enforce the law. And then they're lobbying these right-wing community groups to come out and show and say that they want this change in the police code. So elections don't mean anything is what really the police are saying. The police are saying that it does not make any difference what the public votes on. It's whatever downtown business, and of course that's ultimately where this law is going to be directed towards, is to try to make it illegal for anyone to sit downtown.
Now, what was the consequence, or what happened to the police?
Well,
commission?
It's on hold currently, but it looks like even though it was only a few people came out in support of the change of the code, and a large, overwhelming number of people that were there were opposed.
Now, what exactly was the change proposed?
That it would be illegal to sit on the sidewalk.
Hang on. So finishing up here, you...
Yeah, well, that it would be illegal for, it's unclear how many people can sit, you know, they're talking about at one point groups of 40 sitting on the sidewalk, you know, that's being batted around as to what the numbers of people, so elite, in a certain extent, at least it's not just one person so far sitting on the sidewalk would be against the law, but I think that knowing that the San Francisco police do not even abide by the already pre-existing laws, that what it will mean was it will be interpreted as that they can arrest anybody. And already right now they are jacking up people all day long, every day. You just spend a little time on the hate and you can see the police moving people along.
And what are they
lawfully
using?
Sitting.
What kind of codes are they using?
They don't even, they just say that this code that was not passed is passed and that they...
Are anybody challenging it? Are you considering a sit down in Hate Street and in solidarity with...
There has been some talk of that, and I think that that ultimately will be one of the courses of action. It's a very frightening to see that the interpretation of the of what is allowed in this community is very limited. Oh, and just another thing that's really horrible is the other day on the Saturday, I'm like in the Mission and I'm driving up towards the Castro, and you can see yard sales in the Mission. There's cops all around each yard sale. And then you get to, once you start getting into a higher income neighborhood, there's no cops at the yard sales there. You know, and that's the type of discrimination you can see all the time.
Well, there's a certain class of people that really should, they can't really keep a clean yard sale. I mean, let's face it.
Right. Well, people that have to do yard sales to live are not allowed to do yard sales. People that are doing yard sales as entertainment are...
Well, that's, I think, in keeping with the Parks and Rec's new policy of providing permits with recreational events. I mean, permits to serve food with recreational events, of course, is now considered to be okay, although I haven't heard of too many of those permits being issued, but permits for Food Not Bombs who are serving people who need to eat, that's another matter.
That's another matter. Plus, it's also... Food Not Bombs can't even get a permit to serve food at its own its own recreational events.
You want to check that out?
I get the line, I better let you go, right?
Yeah, you better let me go, and thank you, Keith. Talk to you more later. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Can you guess just who we are? One part business, one part war. We own the weapons, banks and land. Call us Armageddon Man. There is less, but we want more. So we take it from the poor. You can't stop us, no one can, because we're Armageddon Man. Karl Marx predicted our demise, but it's on crisis that we thrive. And if find a new market or a war, we'll do and we'll see our historic mission through. Well, even though our race is almost run, when we are through, you'll all be done. And what we don't use up will blow away on that Armageddon day. Survive it, no one can. Thanks to Armageddon Man. Thanks to Armageddon Man. Thanks to Armageddon Man.
And that's, again, the San Francisco Mime Troupe, I believe, Fact Guano versus Armageddon Man from the early 80s. Great stuff. You're listening to Bathrop's Pierre's Broadsides, the recorded edition. It's 96.3 FM on your radio dial, Free Radio Santa Cruz. No call-ins today. This is a recorded show. My show is twice a week, Mondays and Fridays, 10 to 12, and I'm also hoping to have a loop tape or two thrown in at other times, so you may be surprised, possibly in the wee hours of the morning, you'll be able to hear some even more of Bathrop's Pierre's Broadsides. Some quick announcements. The Social Services Subcommittee of City Council, which is considering the whole budget of the Community House Project, that's the boondoggle that's destroyed the campground, and currently is two ragged trailers, or maybe three, sitting out at the Highway 1 and River Street property owned by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, but in no way due to open soon, is going before City Council's Social Services Subcommittee for sort of a final rubber stamp. Now, we went to the last Social Services Subcommittee, which usually meets at 8:15 in the mornings on the... Well, it meets... Its next meeting on the 28th of May, that's Tuesday, usually meets on Tuesday morning at 8:15 a.m., like once a month or so, usually, sometimes more frequently. This is a subcommittee which includes Jane Yokoyama, Mike Rotkin, and Scott Kennedy, or Motormouth Mike, Jane Hokey Mama, and Squad Car Scott. He's called Squawk Box Scott, but that's a little confusing. Scott is frequently called for my arrest at City Council for free speech activities, and has taken some real interest in personal attacks on me. Last show we played an attack from the last Social Services Subcommittee where I asked a rather pertinent question of the new Citizens Committee for the Homeless's Community House Project Director, Frank, who seems a friendly enough guy. And I was interrupted by Kennedy, who denounced me and warned the new director that anything he said would be held against him, repeated endlessly, and so forth. And I was actually just trying to find out how much an average homeless person would have to pay to go into Community House. I told it was anywhere from nothing to $617 a month, and have in fact been regularly announcing myself that this is a project for people who already have government checks and not for people who need emergency shelter. And therefore, because the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, as Commander Spock put it, should be temporarily set aside until there is a campground area for people to use, since the project is being built right on top of the old campground. Anyway, Kennedy was at my throat, as he frequently is. I've praised Kennedy recently for his actions around the drumming question, which, as you know, is really proceeding nicely. The drummers have gotten together and worked out ground rules, and I'm hoping to interview Tom Naughty later in this tape. This tape is being made on Monday morning, May 20th, and we hope we can actually have some really up-to-date interviews for you, but can't promise that, and if we don't, we'll put on some older stuff, which is still interesting. I've got hours and hours of tapes I haven't been able to air, and hopefully some of these recorded sessions will allow you to have access to that information. Keith McHenry and I were discussing a potential demonstration from San Francisco on the 30th or 31st. There is a demonstration slated on the 31st for the Friday hearing, where everybody's going to show up for a camping ticket circus, which in essence will be postponed until June 14th. But that's no reason not to use that time to educate the people, particularly since the injunction may have shown its ugly face by that time as well. And speaking about the injunction, we do have a volunteer attorney from Berkeley, Larry Hildes, as well as local attorney Kate Wells, who are working on the injunction, or beginning to. They are swamped with work themselves, and you know, it's hard to find volunteer attorneys, particularly out of town.